I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, hope for the new year. We'll hear from a couple who've celebrated half a century of New Year's together and look forward to many more. Ola and Grady Betts will be with us to tell us how they did it. But first, today is the first day of the new year, but it's also the last day of Kwanzaa. That's the 7-day annual observance started by Malana Karenga back in the 1960s as a way to celebrate African-American culture and heritage and to lift up community-minded principles like unity, faith, and self-determination. Some look forward to it as an antidote to the commercialism and, frankly, Eurocentrism of the Christmas season. But, well, how can we put this delicately? Some other people are, well, over it. Erin Evans is one of them. She wrote about it for the online publication, TheRoot.com, and she's with us now. Hi, Erin.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine, so except for the hate mail I know I'm going to get for this segment.
I'm so sure.
You celebrated Kwanzaa as a child, right?
Right.
A few times. How did you celebrate?
We would, right before we would go to sleep, me, my mom, and my brother would get together. We had our handmade canara. We would sit down, get out the candles, put them in the canara, and light them. And, you know, we would say the few words, talk about today's principle, how we would like to incorporate it in our everyday life. And really, you exchange a gift. You usually weren't supposed to buy gifts. If you were going to buy a gift, you'd buy like a book or something educational, either about Kwanzaa or about, you know, promoting your self-awareness.
So basically it was like a trip to the dentist with candles.
Yeah, it was like it's something you do every night for 7 days. And when it's over, it's over. And there's Kwanzaa. So
you're over it.
Yeah. We celebrated about 3 times in the 90s. And we never looked back, really.
So you're saying that it made sense at first, but it doesn't necessarily make sense now. Why not?
I just feel like it isn't really incorporated in the way that African Americans, you know, live today. Just for, you know, 7 days, you're acknowledging these principles, which are, I do feel like, good principles that not just Black people, but anybody should abide by. And then
unity, faith. Cooperative economics, and people want to argue about that, but,
right,
you know, self-determination,
creativity, purpose, all those things are great to follow. It's just you kind of forget about the fact that there are Kwanzaa principles outside of the 7 days that you are celebrating them.
Yeah, but there are really good outfits associated with Kwanzaa. In fact, you wrote about that for the, why don't you read the passage where you talked about your Kwanzaa outfit?
Okay, here we go. There I was in a bootleg purple and gold tie-dye smock and some purple culottes, hair in a high ponytail. My mother stood next to me in a burnt orange and green accented top and wrap skirt from Ghana. Grandma came too. She wore a gold caftan and headdress imported from Nigeria. We were working it. My 5-year-old brother, set to enter kindergarten the next fall, chickened out at the last minute. He was either too cool or too smart to wear his blue and black print dashiki with pants gathered at the ankle, kufi atop his head.
And I should mention that this was all the more embarrassing because this was the multicultural night at your school where you were, what, one of the
few
Black families, and you were called upon to present Kwanzaa. I can understand that's kind of embarrassing. And and you point out that, you know, you've got there's the Hallmark cards, there's the commemorative stamp, and the outfits, they're the stuff you can buy. Mm-hmm. But, and as you write, ask the 5 closest Black people to you if they celebrate Kwanzaa, ask them to break down what it means, how they've incorporated it into their holiday traditions. Turn to someone sitting next to you right now and ask them to tell you about their Kwanzaa celebrations. Pause for effect. Exactly. Right.
Yes.
So the bottom line, do you think it's just, it's time has passed? Or do you think that there's actually something wrong with it? Perhaps that this kind of intense focus on the Black experience or this invented Black experience,
right,
is pointless?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's trying to, with the words. The words are in Swahili, all of the principles. And it's trying to reach out to the African traditions and all that. But, you know, it was created by an American man, and that the traditions really aren't based in things that they have actually done in Africa. And it just kind of seems like a false way to reach back instead of, you know, educating yourself on things that are inherently African or, you know, visiting the continent of Africa with its many countries and the many things that you can learn about it. It just seems like something that now, as we're living in a more multicultural community, you know, where do you celebrate Kwanzaa besides inside your home? You don't really celebrate it in the community if you're living next door to white people, Hispanic people. And you don't really celebrate it in the church either because it's not really a religious holiday at all.
So what kind of reaction have you gotten to the piece? Because I'm not answering your hate mail. I'm sending it right to you.
Right. That's what everyone says. They're pointing to my desk when they come up here and, you know, start picketing the route.
Exactly.
People have, you know, defended Kwanzaa. A lot of people are saying, you know, what about Christmas? Christmas has been commercialized just like Kwanzaa has. So if that is your main gripe with the holiday, then can't you make that same assumption about Christmas? And a lot of people actually have agreed with me as well. You know, I don't really celebrate Kwanzaa either, or I celebrated in the 90s a couple of times and just left it alone. So it's definitely a mix. You know, a lot of people, you know, they back Kwanzaa and they celebrate it, and they may celebrate it with Christmas or they may only celebrate Kwanzaa. So I just think it's an interesting point to make because, you know, your white friends or your Hispanic friends or whoever may come up to you and say, oh, do you celebrate Kwanzaa? And you're just kind of like, no, I don't really, or I do, and that's what I do.
You're saying it's time to say the emperor has no dashiki.
Basically. Or no kufi atop his head.
No kufi atop his head. Okay, but I will say, have you tried that cake that the Food Network Sandra Lee makes for the holiday, that Kwanzaa cake? Now, can you really say you've given it its due if you haven't tried Sandra Lee's Kwanzaa cake?
I cannot say that I've tried the Kwanzaa cake. Now, it might be worth just giving it a try, making it, seeing what happens. But I just found it really odd looking at the TV, seeing this, you know, woman, she's blonde, she, you know,
she's quite blonde.
Yes, very much so. She's putting her red, green, and black candles in the cake, and, you know, she's like, here's my Kwanzaa cake. So I just found it extremely funny watching that on TV.
Hey, don't hate until you've tried the Kwanzaa cake.
Maybe I'll try it.
Erin Evans is a writer and copy editor for the online publication, TheRoot.com. Her piece is entitled, The Trouble with Kwanzaa. We'll have a link on our website. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.